It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning Radio, the first Lightning Radio of February. Bill Moss, happy Groundhog Day to you, sir.
You know, Mark, I was feeling like I've been here before in this seat talking to this person about news in Greater Hendersonville and Henderson County. Oh, wait. You're right. It's Groundhog Day.
It's just like Groundhog Day.
Maybe
absolutely.
This one will turn out better than the previous 250 Groundhog Day. Lightning Radio shows.
There's no way. No way. Apparently, Punxsutawney Phil saw a shadow. So, according to Punxsutawney Phil, 6 more weeks of winter.
Bad news.
We're still waiting to hear about Pumpkin over at Chimney Rock State Park.
Well, he ain't going to see his shadow.
I can't imagine.
He or she, yeah.
I can't imagine on today.
I don't think Pumpkin will see no shadow.
Pretty much looking for 6 more weeks of winter. better
well,
enjoy.
Well, if he doesn't see a shadow, fewer weeks, right?
No, I think it's if you don't.
I thought it was bad if he did see a shadow.
You know, I never can get it right.
I told you this wasn't going to end well.
We'll do some research. We will do some research. All right, let's get on to news that we do know about, Bill, and that's what's happening in this week's Lightning all around our community.
Sticking my lane, in other
words.
That's
right, yeah, that's okay. Right. The Horseshoe Farm saga continues. Talk to us about this, Bill.
Well, this is a lead story. Yeah, it is. It's got a good picture of Horseshoe Farm owner John Turchin, Miami, and he likes to say Northwest North Carolina, like Banner Out Boone area, developer of many years and indeed decades, pointing at some trees, quite a few mature, nice trees on his property that Dominion Energy, that's the gas line operator formerly, a lot of us formerly knew as PSNC,
right.
Public Service North Carolina, but it's been Dominion for quite some time, and Dominion would like to cut and insist it has the right to cut by virtue of a 1963 easement when it first laid this pipeline through this, I think it's 85-acre property, to clear cut this right away to protect the gas line, to ensure access to the gas line in case there's some sort of rupture or emergency or even need for maintenance, some kind of change or whatever. John Turchin, he at first agreed to let them cut a handful of trees, probably 10 or 12, in the right-of-way. He didn't want them to do something called side trimming, which they also wanted to do, which was to cut trees just outside the right-of-way, whose branches overhang the right-of-way, in order to ensure an unobstructed view from the air during aerial patrol and monitoring of the said gas line. So, believe it or not, so they sue. He does agree, but doesn't like the way they do it. They won't stump grind. They don't really clean up. They took down half of a fence, he said, testified. So he ran them off, and they sent him a threatening letter that they were going to sue. Then sued. He countersued, and believe it or not, this resulted in a 3-day trial. And as the Lightning Report, it may have been the first case in history to reach Henderson County Civil Superior Court in which a tree was on trial for its life.
Oh, my goodness.
Or more specifically, 17 trees.
A
3-day trial on this, but it was very interesting with expert witnesses, testimony by probably in the end 6 or 7 people, expert witnesses from he had started out as a pipeline engineer for a gas company in Oregon. Later become a key figure with American Gas Association. And it's really, you could tell he'd been a paid expert in trial to testify before. Tree experts by the defendant, that would be Mr. Turchin, the Horseshoe Farm. Geology experts about whether these trees were or were not potentially a threat to the pipeline. Testimony from the plaintiff side, that's Dominion, that, well, if we get one of our classic windstorms, rainstorms, hurricane that uproots these big trees, the tree doesn't just, as you've seen, you know, when we've had storms, it's not just the tree that comes up. It's the root ball that comes out of the ground.
Yeah.
That could uproot the gas pipeline as well, rupture it, cause a big emergency. So in the end, actually, it was a partial victory. He didn't really see it that way, but for Mr. Turchin. He lost trees, but seven trees won a reprieve. The jury said, no, we think the side trimming, Mr. Turchin called vertical razor cutting, which makes like a whole tree a half tree.
Yep,
it didn't look so good.
Yep.
They did it to one of his, and he said, that looks terrible. Cut it down. So
wow.
he was thinking if they allowed the side trimming, he'd probably just go ahead and lose all of those trees. So that's the way it stands. No word yet, because there's going to be sort of some post-trial motions. No word yet on whether either side may approve this. So what I sort of regard as potentially as a precedent-setting trial is a little bit less so. I mean, because they won, Dominion won its right to clear-cut a gas line right away.
Sure. Okay.
So, right. And that apparently is happening, although the testimony was that Dominion apparently has a very limited budget to do this for its, wait for it, entire 11,000-mile gas line corridor in North Carolina.
Wow.
But if they come knocking on your door with a chainsaw, that means they probably are going to say, we have the right to clear cut through your property, and a court said so.
Yep. Interesting. We'll look forward to hearing how that ends up. Let's move on to HendersonvilleLightning.com, a story that's on the website, but not yet in the paper itself for this week. And it's another NIMBY Nation story.
Speaking of disruptive land uses or things on or near your property that often folks don't like, a landowner, you might recall, who dropped plans for a 20-room inn amid intense neighborhood opposition just about a year ago, has filed a new application to permit a lodge and private club on a 4.5-acre site in a wooded area kind of atop Cabin Creek Road there in Green River. And there's a big gotcha, you might say, this time. This time, the project does not require a rezoning. A staff report says that a clubhouse and, quote, common area recreation and services facility are permitted uses in the county's Rural 2 residential. And that was confirmed by our interview via an email from zoning administrator Matt Champion that said that is a use by right in that zone. So this goes to the Technical Review Committee next Tuesday, but not the Planning Board and not the County Commission. What remains to be seen, the Technical Review Committee does not usually, hardly ever, takes public comment, but sometimes the county's business and community development director or someone in the planning department sort of intervenes and says, look, there's a lot of interest. Maybe you should hear from the Green River folks. I don't know that will happen. The last time this came, the other one I mentioned, became before the Technical Review Committee. They allowed some comment.
So this Cabin Creek Lodge and Club, is this residences or is this rental units?
You would have to apply for membership.
Okay.
You'd stay there overnight, or you might stay there for 2 weeks. It's
okay.
Kind of retreat.
Okay.
Retreat. They describe the called Tuxedo Falls, tagline, an escape into nature. The development, it would be reached by a private road. It would be a membership operation. In addition to encouraging members to enroll children in local summer camps, they mention in the application, to allow for their entry into the club. The club may arrange for local summer campers to experience educational nature services available. They're going to have some kind of education. I don't know if it's kiosk or nature hikes or what. Additionally, to the extent possible, edible plants grown on the property could be made available to local farm-to-table restaurants. And finally, the club will coordinate with local businesses to encourage patronage of those businesses. I don't know if I mentioned a restaurant also.
Ah, okay.
So an inn, it doesn't say how many rooms. It's 10,000 square feet. a restaurant and nature amenities. Probably lots of walking, lots of walking and biking trails.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We've got a lot more stories to go. We've got more development, Chamber Award winners, and more. You are listening to Lightning Radio on WTZQ.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family-owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background, paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business and contractor liability, and business auto to outdoor vehicles and watercraft, with Barnett & Coates, you'll experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A or at barnettandcoates.com.
Cold weather is coming, so you'd better be prepared. Kaysen Oil has fuel oil and K1 kerosene readily available. Schedule your delivery today by calling 693-0246. Family owned and operated, Kaysen Oil, serving our community for over 40 years.
Hey there, Sarah Cosgrove with Grove Manor Flooring, the hardwood flooring specialist. Whether it's new installation, resurfacing, or custom finishes, we've got you covered. Located in Hendersonville and serving the surrounding areas, we're family owned and operated and community focused. Visit our website or call 595-5566 for your complimentary estimate today. Grove Manor Flooring, rooted in craftsmanship and service for your perfect floor.
Breedlove's Family Restaurant serves breakfast and lunch, now open Tuesday through Saturday and with brunch on Sunday. Fresh food and friendly faces will make you feel at home. In fact, you literally are at home. 316 Chadwick Avenue, fresh coffee, fresh food, that's Breedlove's.
And we're back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Let's talk about more development, Bill. One thing that is has the lightning buzzing, and that is the story of Dario finally breaking ground.
Yeah, as the website says, here we go, Dario. I mean, that was on the front. That was a front page tease, I think, for this story. Two happy development news stories coming up now. After two that are a little bit more disruptive in nature, and that is, yeah, Dario, the Winston-Salem-based hot dog, burger, and ice cream specialist. It's broken ground now on that piece of property where they planted their flag in the form of that Dario Cup quite some time ago, maybe last summer or so. I still wondered if it was going to happen or they're just going to come and remove the cup.
Right.
But
right.
Now it's happening. In fact, yesterday, the whole lane was closed for a couple hundred yards right in front of it with utility trucks. And that was that's after we had already made this picture just of excavation. So that is happening on the 2.6-acre site. And here's a graph I think is interesting. Although the Lightning was unable to reach Dario to confirm a timeline, a company executive shed some light on the delay in an interview with the Lenore News topic last March, where one has now opened there. With COVID, it's been a lot, and this is the key. He said Rusty LaRue. And I said, wait a minute, what's that name, Rusty LaRue? And I had to look him up because I remembered. The legendary 1990s Wake Forest quarterback and basketball guard,
yep.
Who is now Dario's chief operations officer, told the newspaper. And he just describes planning, site work, all that got delayed. Further Googled him. He once completed 55 passes in one game.
Wow.
And I remember him as a basketball guard being terrific. He lit us up a few times. I remember that from the 1990s. Anyway, it's coming. It's got a
full quite a menu.
Yeah. Ice cream, soft serve ice cream floats, flurries, sundaes, hot dogs, chicken sandwiches, 18 toppings on the hot dogs. Read your Hendersonville Lightning or HendersonvilleLightning.com for more details.
I can't help but think about a smart move because you're right there in front of East, so you got a built-in clientele right there.
Be the break room for East.
And Upward Road right off of I-26.
And we've talked about how Upward Road is in our forecast for the year 2023. It was keep your eye on Upward Road.
The only thing I will say about all those places building on Upward Road right now is good luck finding people.
Oh, absolutely. Especially this is open 7 days. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
It's open 7 days a week, 10 a.m., 10 p.m., Sunday through Thursday, 10 a.m., 11 p.m., Friday and Saturday.
Wow.
They're going to have to indenture some of those East kids.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. That's a very good way of putting that. More on development. Our Ask Matt this week, someone asking about doggone it, when's construction going to start on Augusta Trail? And it's sooner rather than later.
It's sooner rather than later is the answer. 11-mile section from Hendersonville to Trans Mountain County is responsibility of Henderson County. The other part, the city of Brevard, has agreed to be the construction manager of. And at this point, just the 6-mile stretch, which that's not nothing, from Busy Bend or downtown. Actually, the trailhead is probably going to, they don't usually say this, but the trailhead is probably going to be somewhere around King Street there, of course, on the railroad track. Because that's actually an extension that so far they hadn't looked at, because that's not funded as far as Busy Bend to that trailhead. But that's going to be a little trailhead park there, I believe.
Right.
So the Rail Trail Advisory Committee has been bird-dogging this, and this is what they know. Most of the design drawings have been completed. The last 10% of the design should be finished in the next few weeks. And RTAC, that's the Rail Trail Advisory Committee, was able to offer specific guidance to the engineers in a special called meeting last week. During the next few months, they'll be applying for permits such as, on things such as stormwater, erosion control, so on. Construction bids could be advertised by mid-April, with construction beginning in the on the first 6-mile segment from downtown Hendersonville to Horseshoe in mid-July.
Wow.
And a December 2023 completion date, drum roll please, was projected.
For the first 6 miles.
Correct.
Okay.
14 feet wide in the more densely populated part of White Pine Drive in Laurel Park to the trailhead, and 12 feet out in the country.
Okay. Excellent. That's exciting news. Let's move on to some very very deserved award winners. The Chamber Awards dinner was just last week, and you've got all of them listed here. In this week's Lightning.
Yeah, some really good. We got hundreds upon hundreds of words.
Yeah.
Of a good write up there from the Chamber of Commerce of this year's 100th annual awards dinner.
Yep.
The top award, the G. Ray Cantrell Award, named for the longtime Chamber leader.
You knew him, right?
Yes.
Yep. I remember him.
I was at, I came in. As a fresh youngster, when he was at the tail end, because this says from 1958 until 1998, I arrived in Hooterville in 1998, 25 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I started here at the station, I guess, in 95, something like that. So got to spend some time with him.
Native of Hendersonville, Jeff Miller is a graduate. He's the winner of this award of Hendersonville High School in Appalachian State. Until August of last year, he operated the dry cleaning business that his family started in 1915. He and his wife, Tamara, have a son, Beck, who's a graduate of Wake Forest University. Impossible to read all of the accolades that that they talked about on the Hendersonville City Council. He, along with the mayor and the rest of the council, worked with BRCC, Wingate, Pardee. This is the five-headed monster, or five-headed good monster.
Yeah.
five-headed creation that resulted in the Pardee, Wingate, BRCC Health Sciences Building on the Pardee campus. Also worked in partnership to get the industrial Garrison Industrial Park going. He worked on his time on council, even though you're just now seeing it up out of the ground, to marshal support for the new parking deck downtown. He worked, this was toward the beginning of his time on the council, with City Manager John Connett. And the rest and the council to kind of turn the ship's heading from an anti-business to a more business-friendly reputation in the business and development community. Has been past president and founding member of the Henderson County Heritage Museum, Pardee Health Board, Henderson County YMCA, many, many accolades. And then you read the awards. People are familiar with a lot of these. He's been awarded at the White House. He's been getting the top citizen award from the U.S. Army Chief of Staff, who now Mark Milley, who now I think is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under Biden. The Duke Citizenship Award, let's move on, went very deservedly also to Dr. David Ellis, who played such a key role from March that fateful 2020, day in February, yeah. March of 2020 through his retirement at the end of 2021 as the chief medical officer of Pardee, helping guide the community and healthcare and health provider partners through the response to the pandemic, and was among the first they were the first in the county to vaccinate.
Right.
And the first to give that therapeutic response to mm-hmm. The pandemic.
Yep.
The First Citizens Bank Customer Service Award is Dan Poeta's Horizon. It seems like they've been here forever, but it started in 2010 and has been recognized for phenomenal growth in community service and leadership. Also deserving Small Business Leader of the Award. There were four quarterly winners: Hannah Flanagan's, Amoco, Alessi Insurance Services with Mike Alessi, very good service guy, and Carolina Specialties, and Amoco was the winner of that. Ben and Kim Haynes of Camp Tonawanda, a fourth generation, I think it is, owner-operators of Camp Tonawanda, received the Camp Leadership Award. You got Ambassador of the Year, who was Cindy Novak. The Nonprofit of the Year this time was Children and Family Resource Center,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And Environmental Education Champion Award this time is Vanessa Gillum,
yep.
owner and director of Nessa's Youngins Natural Play. Environmental Sustainability Award, let's see who that is, Mass General Store. They do lots of things to help, and that's it.
Again, very well-deserved awards. Very well-deserved. Now let's
well-deserved,
talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, very well-deserved. United Way has announced new board members, some community leaders joining the board. Talk to us about that, Bill.
Yeah. More worthy appointments here. Seven of them. So that's good new infusion of fresh blood to the United Way that does so much good in the community. You got new members, Paula Aguilia Johnson,
mm-hmm.
Joe Canning, Debbie Gould, Brandon Nudd, Michelle Reynolds, Misty Zimla, and Melissa Whitmire. You can read all of their backgrounds and histories and what they've done and what they're doing now and their contribution to the United Way on page 10.
Fantastic. It's a great board to serve on.
Which also has recognition, we might add, of Derek Lancaster, an engineering technician, as Pardee Hospital's team member of the month. He expressed his favorite part of his job is the people he works with, and his colleagues share the same sentiment, describing him as a loyal and hard worker. He is always smiling and goes beyond the goals set for the department, a coworker said. He performs every task without hesitation and gives the best customer service to every unit and department, and cares about the quality of his work and how it affects the team members and patients.
Fantastic. Bill, there's a book signing coming up. Author of Mountain Nurse, the story, and she's going to be signing books. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, Rose Sinahy, I think it is, will be signing books. That's at 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon, this coming Saturday, February 4th, in the community room. That's on second floor of the historic courthouse. She is a resident of Chimney Rock and author of more than 10 novels, and she'll be talking about Falling Off a Cliff, the story of a mountain nurse. And here's a little bit about that book that I thought was interesting. We pulled from her website a little synopsis. Says, time, like a pendulum, swings the reader between two women born to make a difference with their healing hands, no matter what dangers they have to face. In the 1920s, Lula Mae clings to a doctor woman as they gallop horseback all over the steep, harsh Blue Ridge Mountains, where fierce pride and guarded secrets define the people they try to help. The fun thing about this is they say she will talk about the research she did of Edneyville of the 1920s.
Right.
When she does this talk and book signing. So you might want to check that out if you like
history.
If you like local local history and the Appalachian lore.
Excellent. Something else online is the MLK Junior Art Contest. Got some cool art.
It really does. I think there are 10. I looked at them, and I was very impressed with the quality. And we have this we have this 2x2, 2x2 square of 4 portraits or drawings by the kids. I was really impressed with the quality. They don't have their names. I guess that's deliberate. You can go online. I would recommend go to hendersonvillelightning.com to see how you can vote. It's a contest for the for Black History Month art contest. I would recommend go to hendersonvillelightning.com where there's a hot link that says click here to vote for your favorite, and that'll send you to this website that has all of them. I went and I voted myself. Very user-friendly.
Very good. Bill, let's finish it up. We've got a few more minutes because we got lots of community briefs to talk about. So fill us in on some things happening in our community.
Congratulations to Ann Boyette. It's not the first time we've said her name.
No, it's
in
not.
In community news, the AIG, that's academically and intellectually gifted student specialist at Hendersonville Middle School. She was recently selected as a recipient of the Fulbright Teachers for Global Classrooms Award by Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board. And in the course of that, you know what she did?
What's that?
Well, she took a 90-hour, she completed a 90-hour program on global education, and then she got to observe and teach in Finland from November 2nd through the 15th, a couple weeks, with several members of her Fulbright class of teachers to a class of honorees.
Excellent.
So that was pretty cool. We reported this other one. This is Edneyville. This other one we reported a while ago, but now they've sent a nice check passing, a picture of an oversized check that shows young Christopher Hernandez Montero, the one of three grand prize winners in optimum service area.
Uh-huh.
Guess how big that is.
How big is that?
21 states.
Oh,
one
wow.
of only three grand prize winners.
I didn't realize that.
Christopher was. So check that out. He got a $3,000 check.
Excellent.
And then we got the engineering tech. Check out nominations, Athena Awards. There's an open nomination time for that presentation. And registration is open. We look forward to some better weather for this for the June 4th WNC Flyer bicycle ride, start finish at Oscar Blues.
And when is that?
That takes place June 4th.
Okay.
But, registration online is open now. It's a good course. It is. It's one of the flatter courses you can find to go 50, 66, or 100 miles. It goes up through kind of the winding hills of Rosman, but it's not nearly as steep as a Tour de Apple.
Sure, sure. Bill, let's finish up this morning with Chief Myhan, our police chief, has received an assignment, if you will.
Yeah, he was recently sworn in as president of the North Carolina Association of Chiefs of Police, and at the same time, the North Carolina, I guess these roles go together, the North Carolina FBI National Academy Associations, and he will serve through 2023. So I guess that's a calendar year appointment for Chief Myhan. He is very progressive in community policing and kind of things, and working with the community. One of the things they wanted in that new police station there in the historic 7th Avenue district was community meetings rooms, you know, easy access for the public to come and meet with the police. And he has a community advisory board that convenes, I think it's once a month, where he gets impact and they talk about ways to improve community policing. So congratulations to Chief, who he has been with this association since 2012. And was a regional director from 2018 to 2021. So he's been active in this statewide association of police chiefs, and he'll do good for them, and it'll probably do good, and he'll get some other good ideas for policing.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Bill, we've touched on stories in the Lightning. We've touched on stories on your website, but there's a whole lot more in this week's Lightning. So please tell folks how they can get their Groundhog Day edition of the Hendersonville Lightning.
Yeah, on Ground Day, they can once again go out there. Maybe what the rain, I heard you say the rain's not going to subside.
No, it's not going to subside.
So you have to bundle, get your rain gear on and go and visit any of the Lightning Rack Lightning Orange racks around the county, or go to Hendersonville Lightning and click on subscribe to see how you can join the growing legions. And that is truly growing. We're just finding out this week. We've had a surge of subscriptions over the last 3 weeks. But you need to join the growing legions of those fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or very easy and simple to do. Call Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.